are going to the Steamer Landing Park. It's a new moon and the River Club is meeting at midnight. So I thought we could catch up with Jenny Otis McNear and talk about some of our town's river deaths.
Oh, okay.
So we'll continue our river theme.
Wow, that sounds like fun. I was never part of that crowd since I didn't die in the river.
Yeah, and it's the last episode we conversated with Captain Bayless about the river. So, well, if you actually drowned in that well that you threw yourself down for that, then we could have made an exception for your membership.
You would have let me into the river club?
Well, we would have had to vote on it. The well was pretty close to the river, though, and, well, you know I would have voted you in, at least. And some of the other members, well, they're a bit stricter. And even drowning in a tributary is not good enough for them.
Good enough for them. We would clarify what the River Club is for our listeners.
Definitely. The River Club is made up of all of the people over time who have passed away in the Petaluma River. It's a small river, yet we actually have a pretty decent-sized membership.
If I'm not mistaken, you were one of the early members, weren't you?
Yes, I was. But believe it or not, the membership roster was already in the double digits by the time I died.
Wow. I imagine the first ones were mostly victims of the steamboat explosions. The Secretary in 1854 and the Georgina in 1855.
Yes, although the Secretary exploded out in San Pablo Bay, the dead made their way into Petaluma and some of them chose to stay, starting out to the Petaluma River Club in that same year. The Georgina exploded right in the Turning Basin. Some of the members of the club came to me as I was floating face down in the river in 1858 and asked me to join in my billowy gowns.
Wow, I would have said, is there some kind of catch here? Do I have to pay dues or something?
I was thinking the same thing, but no dues, obviously, since we don't have guest money. And the only catch was I had to emotionally support other river dead and bring some expired potluck once in a while to our monthly gatherings. Of course, the Petaluma River Club is not the only one. There are river clubs all over the world where the spirits of people who passed away in rivers, usually by drowning, but not always, get together and form support groups, do activities, and often go haunting together. It's just a bit of camaraderie. There's the Russian River Club, there's Napa River Club, Sacramento River Club, and among some others in Northern California.
But that's not the official name, is it?
No, actually, the official name is the Petaluma branch of the Affiliated Deceased Spirits of the Waterways of the World. Waterways of the World, that's for short.
Well, sounds suspiciously like the Masons or the Odd Fellows.
It's sort of a swimming support group, or more accurately, a support group for people who are unable to swim their way to safety.
Ha ha ha! I like that. Are we headed into the Red Barn there?
Yes, the Riverfront Heritage Center is where we meet these days. We used to meet in the old mill building until they renovated it. Now there are too many people about, even at midnight during the new moon. It was nice when this building became available for our meetings right on the river.
I remember when it had Ghirardelli painted down the side.
Oh, right.
Nora, Adele, you made it.
Oh, hi, Jenny. Good to see you again. We're hoping you'd drop in. It's Jenny, Nora.
Hi, Jeannie.
Looks like there's a pretty good turnout today.
Oh gosh, yes, more than I expected. Probably close to 40 people turned up.
Is that normal? Do you usually get that many?
Well, I haven't been to a river club gathering in well over a year, and there were maybe 15 at that event.
It's the mist on the river tonight.
Yes.
Very thick, and we love it when all the elements come together for a nice moonlight drift on the water.
Yes, we mill about for an hour or so, then all put on our heavy woolen bathing outfits and jump into the river.
I see. Is there a formal meeting first, like a call to order and all that?
There is, but we don't have enough willing pre-dead inhabitants to host all of the members here. The podcast audience would not be able to understand the recorded voices. They can probably hear the murmurs that go on in the background. But you have to have living hosts for intelligible voices.
Yes.
I did ask a couple of living hosts to stand by in case you ghouls would like to interview some of our river dead.
Ghoul friends.
They're sitting against the wall in a trance. I'll get them when we're ready.
Great. I think we would like to start with just identifying some of the spirits who are here and tell some of their stories. If they're willing to answer some questions, we can pop them in and out of our hosts.
Okay, let's see. How about we start with some of the older members, aside from Adele, obviously.
I mentioned to Nora outside that the founding members were from the Steamboat Explosion, the Secretary, and the Georgina.
They have mostly moved on, but there are still three or four around. Oh, over there in the back, that's John Flood. He was one of the firemen on the Georgina and was killed instantly when it exploded. He's still a little bitter about that. He talks with Thomas Cameron, who was a passenger on the Secretary.
So, I think two people died in the Georgina disaster, maybe 13 or 14 in the Secretary. Is that right?
Yes. John Flood looks like he has a little ACD going on, huh? Apparition, cohesion disorder.
Yeah.
Would you like some tea?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Hospitality.
Were there any earlier river deaths?
I'm sure people have died in the river going way into the distant past. I'm just not aware of any Coast Miwok, Southern Pomo, or California people who did. They likely moved on right away and did not start up one of those weird European-style fraternal organizations populated by floaters like us.
Oh my, isn't that an insensitive name for the spirits of the river dead?
Oh, it's an inside joke in the club. We can be irreverent with each other and use terms like floaters or bobbers, but no one else better call us that. Or we'll rain a haunting down on you like demons from hell. We're fiercely protective of our club members.
Fiercely. Okay, I'll bear that in mind.
Actually, we did have a spirit who would often swim with us in the early days, but we couldn't really call her a member of the club, right, Jenny?
Why is that?
Because she was a whale. She made her way up the Petaluma River in 1853, where some locals killed her near Lakeville. And her bones could be seen on the riverbank for decades, and she swam with us for many years until she eventually moved on as well.
That was right about the time her bones were swallowed up by a tidal marsh.
Oh gosh, you got to swim with the ghost whale? Mm-hmm. That must have been some treat.
It definitely was.
Well, so a large part of the club's membership came with the steamboat explosions, and that continued for some time. I know we talked about Jeannie's death on the water in the cemetery episode, but what were some of the other leading causes of river demise?
Accidental drowning was number one.
Number one?
Well, I would say it was alcohol-assisted accidental drowning. Many, if not most, accidental drownings early on were people who fell into the river on their way home from one of our many saloons. Here's an example. From the Petaluma Weekly Argus, December 26, 1867, two men drowned. Last night, after a portion of our addition had been struck off, two men were drowned in Petaluma Creek. The first, John Fellows, with a companion named Padovani, started about 9 o'clock to cross over to East Petaluma. Missing the bridge, found a watery grave. He was a German, aged about 32 years, and a resident of Chileno Valley. Although generally steady in his habits, at the time of the sad occurrence, was intoxicated. His comrade gave the alarm, but it was too late, as Fellows had disappeared. Near midnight, the watchman heard a cry of distress near the bridge, and running to the spot and throwing the light of his lantern in the direction from whence the alarm came, he saw a dark object struggling in the water. It soon disappeared, and up to the present writing, it has not been discovered who the unfortunate was. Search is now being made for the bodies. Yeah. Okay.
You would think that even if people were intoxicated, falling in the river would not lead to their drowning. I mean, it's not like it's a swift flowing stream or very deep.
Right. But it is pretty muddy, and knowing how to swim was not as common a skill back then as it is today. In some cases, there were other circumstances that may also have led to their drowning, like the case of Daniel B. Urey.
Oh,
that's a great example.
Urey.
From the Petaluma Daily Morning Courier, October 26, 1899, and I quote, "Dead in the river. The remains of Daniel B. Urey recovered from the river today at noon. At noon today, Walter Stump walked out of the rear door of his saloon on Washington Street in East Petaluma, and going to the bank of the creek just in the rear of his premises, was startled to see the body of a man slowly floating down the receding tide. He called Press Smith, who was near, and with poles, the body was hauled close to the bank and fastened. Marshall Collins and a courier reporter were among the first at the scene, and soon the body was removed to the undertaking parlors of J.S. Blackburn. The body was considerably decomposed, and the face was covered with blood which oozed from the nostrils. Before the body was taken from the water, it was recognized as that of Daniel B. Urey of Corona Station. On the body was found a gold watch and chain, a certificate of deposit for $420 with George P. McNear, dated the 19th of this month, $3.05 in silver, and a pair of spectacles. Urey was well known here, and soon many people viewed the body and confirmed the identity. Daniel Barton Urey was a native of England, aged 60 years. He was a thrifty farmer and for a number of years resided near Corona on a ranch of about 50 acres, where he did well and was a hard worker. A week ago today, on October 19th, Urey came to town and told George P. McNear that himself and his wife could not agree on account of his wife's children. Later, Mrs. Urey came to town and reiterated this statement. With Mr. McNear, they repaired to the office of John P. Rogers, where the separation agreement was drawn up, signed, and witnessed. Mrs. Urey gave her husband $500 in gold for his share of the crops, the land near Katahdi, etc., while she signed back to him his life insurance policies, all of which were paid up to date. After leaving his wife at the attorney's office, Urey became under the influence of liquor, but was in a jovial mood and told some parties that he was going into the secondhand business here, and others that he was going to South Africa.
South Africa.
It will be a week ago tomorrow since he was last seen. His absence caused no anxiety, as it was thought he might have gone to San Francisco for a few days, although he wore his working clothes when last seen. It is generally believed that Urey fell into the river while intoxicated, and being almost helpless, was drowned. The attitude of the body showed that he had attempted to swim, and his watch stopped at 1:20.
Ooh, 1:20. Ooh. So I'm not sure. Was he happy to be separated? They said he was a jovial mood. Or was he depressed when he went in the river?
Well, he's always in a good mood when he turns up at these functions. He's usually over by the bar with the other inebriated drowning victims laughing it up. They're a pretty raucous crew.
He did tell me he regrets never making it to South Africa, though. And his wife, actually, she did pretty well. She ended up with those life insurance policies after all.
She was pretty sharp cookie there. Well,
so.
You know, I do see a lot of children in the crowd. Obviously, children were not inebriated when they were falling in the river, so there was still plenty of other accidental drownings.
Yes, the childhood drownings are particularly sad, and all of us in the club take special care of our youngest members. Right over there is little Willie Bowles. His story was in the Petaluma Weekly Argus, March 19, 1887. A sad bereavement. Last Saturday evening, the many friends of Mr. and Mrs. Jesse Bowles of this city were shocked to hear that their little son Willie, ages about 4 years old, had been drowned in Petaluma Creek near the Whitney Warehouse. The mother of little Willie had gone on a visit to her sister at Truckee, leaving Willie with his grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. A. Morse, whose residence is not far from the creek. On Saturday afternoon, Mrs. Morse was indisposed, and the child escaped the oversight of the person to whose care he had been entrusted. Not until supper time did his absence awaken a serious alarm. inquiry led to discovery that he had been seen at the creek. As the tide was going out, it was not long before the body of the ill-fated Willie was found. It was a sad blow to his parents, who received the profoundest sympathy of this entire community. Mrs. Bowles arrived home in time to join her husband in the last sad rites over her beloved child, who was tenderly laid to rest in Cypress Hill Cemetery on Monday afternoon.
That is so sad.
Dangerous times for children.
By the Whitney warehouse?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they were feeling very sad too. They had 8 children of their own.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It hit the whole community hard.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing good now. He has lots of friends. He actually runs with that crowd of Victorian children ghosts that cause mischief down by the river.
He had little ruffians. But to go back to your previous point, Nora, about the slow-moving, shallow river, it is a lot more dangerous than it appears. Some of the river victims were standing on the decks of the boats or in canoes and were knocked overboard by passing steamboats or barges. Here's one example from the Petaluma Daily Morning Courier, November 7, 1910, and I quote, "Drowned in local river. James Lyons, a well-known and popular machinist employed at the Union Iron Works, was drowned in Petaluma Creek a short distance above Black Point Sunday. During a cruise in the creek, he was standing on the deck aft when the steamer Resolute passed by. The wash of the steamer so rocked the launch that he lost his balance and fell overboard." Unquote.
And we're not talking about laundry. We're talking about the wash of the vessel. Well, and the failure to know how to swim was a key factor there.
Yes, but the tidal flow is actually pretty swift and can pull you under, especially if you are wearing heavy clothing, which we're familiar with, our billowy gowns, or it would wash you out into San Pablo Bay.
And with all that dredging they used to do, the mud was very thick, and it would clamp onto your legs and pull you down. In fact, several bodies were found in the river standing up, trapped in the mud, but drowned. Here's one example from the Petaluma Daily Morning Courier, September 1st, 1906. A. Anderson's body found. The waters of Petaluma River have claimed another victim in the person of Albert O.C. Anderson. The young man had been missing since Tuesday, August 28th. His mother and other relatives had been searching in vain, and Friday, the young man's mother feared her son had fallen into the river, and her presentiment was too true. The morning shortly before 7 o'clock, A.J. Brown, who was employed at the Golden Eagle's mill, saw in the creek, when the tide had gone out, what he thought was the body of a man. Upon investigation, it proved to be the body of Albert Anderson, son of Mrs. J.F. Ergren of Mountain View Avenue, Petaluma. The body was standing upright in the water. The deceased was last seen by the night watchman at midnight Tuesday. It is supposed he was trying to go aboard the schooner, Rough and Ready, when he lost his footing and fell into the water.
That's a gruesome way to go.
Definitely. I believe Albert moved on a few years ago. I haven't seen him at the recent club gatherings.
So what else do you get out of belonging to this club? You mentioned a potluck. Is that it over there?
Yes. We have a nice buffet of expired potluck dishes. As your listeners may not know, once food expires or goes bad, then it enters the afterlife and we can enjoy it. It's not as nice as fresh food or drink, obviously, but it's better than nothing.
And I have to say, there's a lot of food that goes to waste around this town, so we do have a pretty extensive buffet. Someone always brings a casserole. Just pick around the moldy bits, Nora.
I actually like the moldy bits. Maybe people would have lived a bit longer if they'd had that
penicillin
in their bodies.
Good point. There's a whole pot of old coffee over there and some really old tea bags, too. I think the kids got all of the flat sodas, and the inebriated floaters always sop up all the spilled beer right away.
Those potters.
I'm good with tea. I think I'll have some of that moldy mac and cheese.
Don't stuff yourself too much, Nora. We're going swimming in a little bit, and you don't want to get the cramps and drown again.
Definitely not. But then I could be in the club.
You're always welcome anyway, Nora. Mm. We'll make you a special guest member.
Yes, honorary drowned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, as long as there's a buffet, I'll be there.
Mm. Well, let's see if we can get one of the members to come over and tell their stories. So exciting. I see Mary Meyer over there. She's got a great story and was a melancholy suicide like me. Ooh. Jenny, see if you can shoehorn her into one of your hosts.
Will do.
Shoehorn her in.
Will do, coming right up.
So this lady was an intentional drowning like you, Adele.
Well, I'm still maintaining that there have been some foul play in my death. There may have been, but yes.
I brought her over. We're good to go.
Ooh. Hi, Mary. Good to see you again.
Whoa. This is kind of new for me. I haven't inhabited a living ghost before. It's a little disorienting.
You'll get used to it pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I'm Nora, by the way.
Nice to meet you, Nora. I take it you're not one of the delightful drowned debutantes like Adele and myself?
No. I met my destiny at the end of a rope. I guess you could call me a swinging sister.
Oh, Mary, delightful drowned debutantes. I love it. Well, we'd love to hear a little more about your story. Would you tell?
Well, all righty. Well, I was another one of those tragic Victorian cases, a case of female hysteria, melancholic mental anguish, whatever you want to call it. Today, people would probably more likely diagnose an illness as manic depression.
Right.
I was born in 1864 in eastern Washington farming country. I married Carl Meyer in 1883 at the age of 19. Ooh. Carl was an insurance salesman, and we had two children before we moved to Petaluma in 1889. Carl was a decent man, but you know how we women are, prone to melancholia since we are likely to die at the drop of a hat. Oh, every little thing upsets us.
I hope you're kidding.
Oh, I'm absolutely joking, of course. My female friends are among the strongest people I've ever met. But God forbid you have any kind of illness, because those quack doctors will start prescribing everything in the kitchen sink that just keeps you sicker than you can possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. Once you get on that roller coaster, it's hard to get off in one piece.
Lord, laudanum, I hear that. Mm-hmm. My roller coaster ended abruptly with my blindfolded blood into the river. I don't even know how it happened. It happened so fast.
Mm-hmm. The story's similar. Let me read you some excerpts from the article about my death. Okay. From the Petaluma Courier, July 18, 1894. Found drowned. Mrs. Carl Meyer's body recovered. Taken from the river near the residence of G.P. McNear below town. For a long time, it's long been known that Mrs. Carl Meyer, wife of the well-known insurance man of this city, was not of sound mind, and on occasion, her actions necessitated watching. Wednesday morning, however, she appeared to be perfectly composed, and Mr. Meyer left for San Francisco to do some business, returning that evening. At 2 o'clock that afternoon, she said to her two little daughters, "Tell Papa when he comes home that I've gone for a long, long walk."
Oh, yeah.
The last report of her that bears any authenticity was that she was seen walking down 3rd Street in the direction of Haystack. The husband came home on the 7 o'clock train and found the neighbors in great fear that something might have happened to Mrs. Meyer. Search parties walked down the creek bank to a point near McNeil's Hill last night, but it was a fruitless effort. Mr. Meyer returned to the care of his children at 11 o'clock without hearing an encouraging word as to where his wife could be. But he found it impossible to pass the night and rest, and spent the remaining hours before daylight walking up and down San Rafael Road on the creek bank alone. When the sun arose, he came to town, and then, in the company of Dr. Lagan, returned to the creek. Among the tools at the point about 100 yards this side of the railroad drawbridge, and not far from where a party of searchers had been during the previous night, Mr. Meyer found a white straw hat which his wife had worn on her long, long walk.
That's like when they found my bonnet hanging on the wall of the warehouse. It was a little memento mori for Captain Bayless.
Oh, exactly, and we had a number of parallels. One interesting thing to note is that several people saw me walking along the road to Haystack and thought my behavior was odd, but they didn't stop to offer any help.
Wow.
Then listen to what Fred Oberholsters had to say. I was driving along the road in my wagon, about 40 feet from the water's edge, and I saw something struggling in the middle of the creek.
What?
I at first thought it was a horse, because down the road, 200 yards, there was a buggy that appeared to have been upset and dragged. But when the struggle was over, I saw what appeared to be two ladies' shoes. It came up through the surface and then went down. I didn't think enough of it to investigate, but as I drove on, the circumstance occupied my mind to the exclusion of everything else. I told my wife and a number of people about the happening, but they all discouraged my idea, and I dropped the matter till I read the Courier this morning.
Come on, shoes, Fred? Come on. How does someone see that upset buggy, a struggle in the creek, and two floating ladies' shoes and not investigate?
Right?
Oh, I just don't even know. Maybe he or one of the other people who saw me could have gotten me some help. But I guess we'll never know. The newspaper at least called me a lady in every sense of the word. They dragged the creek from D Street all the way to Haystack Landing, eventually finding my body near the McNair residence. The inquest found that I had committed suicide by walking into the river.
No blindfold, though, huh?
No blindfold.
Okay, so accidental drownings, intentional drownings, steamboat explosions, are these some other more nefarious river deaths as well?
Well, we mentioned the murder of Wan Sing in our episode about the Wickersham murders and the anti-Chinese laws. Remember that?
Sad, yes. Mm-hmm.
He's actually around here somewhere, probably teaching the kids Mahjong.
That teenager, George Connick, pushed him in the river near the foot of Western Avenue back in 1894, and that was a dastardly deed. But there was another river-based murder, too, that took place in Petaluma, the murder of John Sabella. Let me read you that article from the Petaluma Courier, March 11, 1891. And I quote, "Murder will out. While two Italian fishermen were hauling in their nets near Petaluma Flats after a day's work on Saturday, preparatory to returning to San Francisco, they fished up a human body. It proved to be the corpse of an old friend, John Sabella, another fisherman, and from the gaping wounds in the back of the head, as a clue, it was found that he had been murdered by his partner, Giobatto Zolezzi, the day before.
Wow.
When confronted with his guilt, the man tried to subterfuge and say that his partner had been struck by the broom and knocked overboard. But he could not explain the way the bloody hatchet found in their boat and the hair that was still clinging to it. The body was found about 1 mile below the mouth of Petaluma Creek. The murderer has been arrested and taken to the Sonoma County Jail.
That's good.
Why would you kill your partner? Dump the body overboard and keep those murder weapons in your vessel. Not the brightest of murderers here.
Definitely.
Oh my
not.
Goodness.
Oh, I think the group's getting ready for our swim.
Oh, yes.
Okay, ladies, put on your bathing outfits.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah, it's time to go to the river. We've got to do this.
I think we've about covered this portion of the River Club, and it's been so wonderful having you here, Mary, today, telling us your story, and you too, Jenny, of course. Yeah. So, will you join in with me?
Sure.
What does RIP stand for?
Rest in Petaluma.
Hey, you can find us on Instagram at Petaluminaries.
Send us your ghost stories at our new reincarnated email at hex@petaluminaries.xyz.
This is a Petaluminaries production featuring Sky Bailey, inhabited by Adele Bayless, and Binky Thorson, inhabited by Nora Berry. Audio recording by Rio Helmy, edited by Tom Whitley. And today we have Cheryl Wilhoit as Mary Meyer, and Carly Snap as Jenny Otis McNear. This is a Petaluminaries podcast, copyright 2024.